welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and if my energy level feels a little, you know, there's a little trepidation there. I'm a little quieter than you'd think. That's simply because I'm recording this at night for a multitude of reasons. One, because I went to Portillo's after Disneyland today and they gave me a extra large Coke instead of, Coke Zero. I don't know why I panicked when I said Coke Zero. Give me an extra large Coke Zero instead of a kitty size. So I am wide awake. Two, I am currently alone in my house. I mean, Pearl's obviously here asleep, but Ben's out of town and this man is always watching The Diplomat. Anytime I'm in this house, The Diplomat, for some reason, is on the TV, which, by the way, they use the same cast as The West Wing. Isn't that illegal? Shouldn't a casting director sue? Anyway, I'm like wide awake and able to concentrate simply because The Diplomat is not playing in my house. And number three, the reason I'm not reaching the peaks of volume I usually would in an intro to an episode, especially an episode as exciting as the Disney Destiny episode, is because, as you know, it rained a biblical amount in Los Angeles this week. So much so that the door to my office won't close. Oh yeah, the wood in our house has swelled. Is that normal? I don't know, but I can't close the door to my office, so I'm just out here yelling very close to a sleeping child who is absolutely going to wake me up at 3:30 in the morning. 100% no doubt is going to happen. So I might as well just like let her sleep for now and just lower the volume just a little bit. I could not be more excited to tell you about my time on the Disney Destiny and answer all of the really important questions all of you have had. Again, this is the first time Disney Cruise Line has made a third ship of a certain kind, of a certain class, this being the Wish class. And there are a lot of questions that I need to answer that go along with that, because you now have seven ships, eight if you include Singapore, but seven domestic Disney Cruise Line ships that you get to choose from on your vacation. Where now, like, the delineation between which one you should book is getting more and more specific. And I am so excited to help you on that journey today and tell you all about all the new spaces, the entertainment, the surprise things that I did not expect on this cruise ship. It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. And the cherry on top is that I got to go to Disneyland today. I'd like to do this thing to kind of, like, negate the sadness of the fact that I know a Disney vacation is coming to an end, especially on these three-day sailings, because they're so quick and there's so much work. Like, we're working nonstop. We get little breaks here and there, but, like, basically, depends on what kind of work you do. Like, when I wrote print stories, I was chilling. I was basically on vacation. Now, I'm making a lot of videos. I'm making podcasts. And, like, because I have my own platform, there's so many more things I want to say because I'm not limited to, like, 1,500 words like it used to be. So we are running around. And I, like, never wanted to end. I want to be, like, on a Disney vacation forever. So I always am thinking of, like, the next thing when I'm there. Like, when I'm on the cruise, I'm wondering, ooh, how can I get my whole family to go back on a Disney ship? Ooh, how can I do that? Ooh, how can I get back to Disneyland with Pearl? She's not here. And so nary a few days later, afterwards, I went to Disneyland with Pearl today, had a blast, did it all. And by all, I mean nothing. I don't even know why I said we did it all. We did nothing because we went to see It's a Small World because they redo it for the holidays. It's a Small World Holiday is the name of it officially. And it didn't open for like 3.5 hours while we were there. And I just kept being like, I'm, you know, like lucky girl syndrome on TikTok. I was like, we're going to be lucky. We're going to get there and it's going to open. Reader, it did not open. So we ended up just like sitting outside of It's a Small World eating multiple theme park snacks. Our first churro and our first Mickey gingerbread cookie. So cute. We spent a lot of time in Toontown of her running around. And so by doing it all, I mean, we did eventually get on there and it was tight. It was fun. But who cares about It's a Small World Holiday? Am I right? Because we got to get into the Disney Destiny. Stick around. We have so much fun cruise stuff ahead for you. I cannot wait to share it all. Like, I don't even know if I can share it all. We have so much to go on. Okay, stick around. We will be right back.
Becky!
Carly.
We are together, everyone. We are together aboard the Disney Destiny. We are using these newfangled mics that I purchased for this moment, basically.
This is
because
awesome.
We had that mic fail the other time
at
Disneyland.
We did.
Becky's joining in on the failure. It was all me.
We are in this together, girl. We are always in this together. This is how this works. You and I holding hands and trying to make mics work.
We're like the end of Rogue One, you and I.
Precisely. Seriously.
But in a much happier setting, because we are talking about saving money on a future vacation.
Saving money and on what is supposed to be or going to be an amazing vacation as we sit in the location we're in.
Yeah. I mean, y'all are going to hear about it when you hear this, but it's dope. It is a good show.
Yep. Oh, wow.
But you have some money-saving stuff for us, don't you?
We always do, don't
we? I love it. You truly float in. Yeah. You float in and you're like, want to save money on a trip? I got you. I'll do the work. I'll go on go.com. I don't mind.
And the hard part is there's so many right now. And I have to warn you, it's going to get even better because this little known thing called Black Friday is right around the corner. And suppliers right now are already starting to leak what to look forward to. So I have a little bit of that for you in a second, too. First of all, let's start with the new one that just came out, which is a Disney Plus subscribers. If you're enrolled in their Disney Plus perks, now it is different. You have to actually enroll in the perks program, but you can get a special 3-day, 3-park ticket to select theme parks for starting at $109 per day.
Ooh!
Which, that's a big deal, of
that's
course.
That's a big deal.
If you're a Disney Plus subscriber and you get into Disney Perks, and of course, they don't just do tickets there. Disney Perks allows for all kinds of discounts. So if you're not subscribed yet, do so, because that'll give you one. There are a couple of opportunities, too, with that same package. It's the dates are January 12th to May 22nd that you can actually use those. But you can also upgrade to their stay and play package, which also gets you an additional discount. So perks there for you.
Heck yeah.
That's number one. Number two, we still have Walt Disney World up on the save up to $250 per night on a 4-night, 4-day room and ticket package. $250 per night.
That's a lot of money. That's cold hard cash.
Exactly. And it is still available right now. And that's going to be available for most stays February 22nd all the way to July 25th. So,
we're out here saving money in summer.
You're saving money in summer. And this is unusual. We don't usually see the summer come out until January and sometimes February. So for it to be available now, you can get ahead of it and get the hotel that you want.
Summer vacation is holiday gift. Bing, bing, boom, you're done.
Exactly. So that's one of those things. Holiday gifts, you get it for your family, of course, but you get to go too. So it's actually a gift for yourself.
Thank you so much, Becky. We have so much more in store in the next break. So everybody, stick around. Hello and welcome back to our Disney Destiny episode. Now we are going to get into everything today, dining, entertainment, what's different, what's similar, and basically tackle all of the most pressing and important questions that I've gotten since I got on the ship. But I first need to tell you a little bit about the trip we had, because what a trip. I went with my mom, obviously. If I'm getting an invite to a new cruise ship, my mom is coming. My mom is coming. She's made that apparent. I like having her there. Also, she likes to be there. It works out well. But there is one thing as part of this trip that I did not invite her to, and that is the hotel before our stay. Now, I flew into Fort Lauderdale earlier than anticipated because, you know, government, airlines, etc. So I ended up changing my trip and flying in Saturday for a cruise that left on Monday. I spent Saturday night with my parents. They live semi-locally. I stayed with them. Was great. We did a bunch of stuff, which I will talk about in the future. But the night before the cruise, we stayed at this hotel called Pier 66. And I'm saying it by name because I want you to remember Pier 66, because this was one of the nicest hotels I have stayed at in a really, really long time. And, you know, we were basically at a gathering for travel journalists. And all of us were there being like, oh, did you see the toilet? Did you see the curtains? We all couldn't stop raving about this random Fort Lauderdale hotel. So if you are going on a cruise, please make sure to stay there if you can. I cannot speak to if it's child friendly or not, but it was definitely Carly friendly. They had really good coffee in the lobby. They had someone helped us up to our room with bags, which like, I could have done it myself. I usually do it myself just because I'm like, what else am I going to the gym so often for? But I like, someone grabbed our bags the moment we walked through the door and I was like, oh, what a luxury. And so this gentleman like walked us up and showed us to a coffee shop and he's like, oh, we have a pastry chef from France. And in my head, I'm clocking it like, okay, that doesn't mean all French people know how to bake. Like, I don't know if that's how that works. This French person knows how to bake. They had such fancy pastries and I got one and it was delicious. It was just a really, really great hotel stay. So if you are staying in the area, make sure to do that. Now, I mentioned this too.
because of what I just said about my mom. My mom always comes with me, and my mom was not invited to stay in the hotel room because it was so nice. I was like, I need a night to myself. And I spent like 5 waking hours just in the room. I stretched. Ooh, I did a skincare routine. Ooh, I did work. I recorded some voiceover. I did so much in this hotel room that I just couldn't tell you about the cruise. I'm talking about the hotel room. But because the Disney Destiny left out of Port Everglades, which is in Fort Lauderdale, you are like hotel to cruise ship in 2 seconds flat. We basically went from this nice hotel room to being on a Disney cruise ship in the blink of an eye. Like, I was going to finish work while we were waiting in the terminal. Boom, we were in. And the really exciting thing that was special about our cruise is that our sailing was the christening sailing. And I have been to a ship christening before. I think it must have been the Disney Wish. We did the christening moment before any of us got on board. But this was a nighttime event. So we basically boarded the ship. We're on the ship for, let me count, 4 to 5 hours. And then we got back off the ship. And we had a party in the terminal. And then we had the christening show, which if you follow me on Instagram or if you follow basically anyone who was there, you saw what we saw, which was the sickest drone show I've ever seen in my life. I have been out in these streets saying, I don't care about drones anymore. I'm over it. Oh, you made things in the sky look like a soccer ball. Cool. Nah, dude. The drone technology for this show was peak. It was so good. I watched it with Becky Mankin, who you all know from listening to this podcast, for Mouse Fan MEI Travel. And MEI Mouse Fan Travel, my mistake, I said it wrong. And Becky and I were fully gagged the entire time. Like, I had to check the audio before I posted to make sure nobody could hear me going, oh my God, this is good. Like, the entire time, I was shocked by how good it was. I don't know how they made like Hercules stuff out of drones. It was fantastic. It was a really good time. But because of the christening, we had that much less time aboard the ship. And remember, a preview sailing like the one we did is 3 nights. And we basically lost most of the first night. We had dinner at this event. We didn't have it on the ship, so we missed one of the meals. We like raced back and I got back probably like 8:45, 9. Like I just barely was able to get nighttime stuff in because I had such a tight little planned schedule. But I crammed everything in that I had to. I got it all in. We got all of the work done. And now I am here able to report back on it to you. But for as much fun as I had on the Disney Destiny, if I'm being honest with you, I kind of procrastinated this episode because it took me some time to really figure out what my exact takeaway was of the Disney Destiny. I thought I would walk on the ship and be like, heroes, villains, it's color wars. We're all joining teams. We're all like in the atrium, like, oh, you're rooting for T'Challa, or like, oh, you're rooting for insert random Marvel villain here. I thought that's what the vibe of this was going to be, like summer camp. And it was not that. And I say that in a good way because I couldn't have even expected the things that they put into this cruise ship because my brain would have gone, Disney's never going to let you do that. That's not going to happen. And yet the Disney Destiny proved otherwise. There were things on this ship that I did not expect at all. And I have reported on the ship for a while now. There were things that I loved and even something that I was unexpectedly disappointed by. But even still, something felt so different, so electric and so rare about these offerings. But critically, I couldn't really place it. I couldn't figure out what my takeaway was because at first I believed the Disney Destiny isn't for everyone, and that's a good thing. That was my initial thought process. I got off the ship, I went to the airport, I was sitting there thinking about it, ruminating about it, and I was like, yeah, the Disney Destiny is wonderful, but it's not a perfect fit for every group, and that's fine. But as time went on, I realized that's not even true. I broke it down and really came to the recognition of that's not it at all. Because when I think about my favorite things on the Disney Destiny, all the details you won't find anywhere else, at a Disney hotel, at a Disney theme park, even across Disney Cruise Line's fleet. When I think of those pillar experiences that exist here, and the ones that I would recommend someone book on behalf of, they're not in the place of something else. They still have Mickey and Friends everywhere on the Disney Destiny. Character meets, dance parties, pajama parties, deck parties. There's a lot of ways to party with these characters. It's rad. And they were everywhere. I saw one of them twice a day minimum. They appear on stage and Seize the Adventure, one of my favorite Disney Cruise Line productions, which I got to see with mascot of the podcast, Jeffrey Epstein. We got to see it with Andrew Barth Feldman and like other theater people. And we all sat there like googly-eyed and gagged, truly like could not handle what was happening. It is like a deep Disney memory for me, seeing that show with all of us and me being like, this is the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And theater people being like, this is the most incredible thing I've ever seen. It was so great. And I mean, obviously, I love it because it features Goofy in the forefront, okay? But the Disney Destiny has heroes, has villains, but they still have all those Mickey and Friends experiences. They also still have a lot of princesses, too. There's an interactive Sleeping Beauty storytelling show, which happens in the atrium. There's Disney Cruise Line's signature Frozen the Musical. This is the only Wish-class ship to have it. Other Disney Cruise Line ships have it, but the other two Wish-class ships do not have it. It is only here on the Destiny. There was a Rapunzel and Flynn Rider meet and greet. There was an Encanto celebration. It has a lot of what makes Disney Cruise Line Disney. And they didn't sacrifice that for this hero and villain theme. Since it does retain a lot of what makes the Wish-class ships special, that's hard to say. And I just said it, and I'm very proud of myself. Wish-class ships special. Ooh, I should have been like, speech or debate in high school. Like, I got those words are pretty good. I'm proud of myself. Anyway, it still retains a lot of what you're used to with this class of ship. It still has the two movie theaters. It has character experiences all day and night. It has Pirate Night. It has Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. It has Mickey bars and hidden Mickeys and Minnie Mouse in the elevator announcing the floors and Mickey and Minnie in the Aqua Mouse water slide and Disney movies playing on Funnel Vision. There's so much Disney that me reviewing the Disney Destiny and saying this isn't for everyone is actually factually untrue. And yet, I have been stuck for days just ruminating in my head, being like, how do I explain what's going on here? And I finally figured it out. When we're all walking away from the Disney Destiny, talking about the characters that inform this heroes and villains theme, the first ever cruise ship theme for Disney, it's not because they veered in that direction and pulled away from the traditional DCL activities. What they've done here on the Destiny is add an extra layer of entertainment on top of the standard Disney Cruise Line offerings. They've squeezed even more juice out of the Disney brand, more than Disney Cruise Line has done ever before. And they've done so in a way that actually breathes life into properties that aren't ever given that extra attention. It's basically like the Disney Cruise Line version of buying a shampoo you love and being like, oh my gosh, with 40% more? I love that. They're giving you the robust lineup of everything you'd experience on a Disney cruise. And on top of that, they're giving you more. And that is what sets the Disney Destiny apart. They didn't take away any standard Disney offerings. They layered them and kept on layering them. And because of that, this ship is actually experientially dialed all the way up. They've never offered this many diverse, interesting, unexpected experiences on a Disney cruise ship. And that is what makes this special. It's not that it isn't for everyone. It's that, like all Disney Cruise Line ships, they're great for everyone who steps aboard them. But this one is extra special for a certain group of people. If you are a Disney millennial, you might want to take another look at the Disney Destiny because you are being catered to here. Catered. And I'm not talking like when you walk into the Emporium on Main Street and you see notebooks that look like VHSs and you're like, they get me, they get my youth. No, we are leveling way up beyond that here on the Disney Destiny. We are a generation that visits theme parks enough to know that Dr. Facilier is a pretty rare character and also craves a 90s film finally being given its flowers on stage. We are young enough to have grown up with a non-Tom Holland Spider-Man, but old enough to have seen Avengers Infinity War and had to put our phone on airplane mode so people didn't post tweets on Twitter and ruin it for us. This is right in our wheelhouse. And for anyone else who loves Disney, but maybe a little fatigued of the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo of it all, this cruise ship is for you. It's focusing on fan favorites that aren't always being given the DCL spotlight. And that is so freaking cool. And something you can only do when you've done seven of these, six leading up to this seventh one. From hero and villain artwork in the stairwells and T'Challa, our Black Panther serving as the heart of the ship, and Spider-Man just clinging to the ship's exterior, it merely shines a spotlight on the arguably core Disney characters that we love but don't often see at sea. And that is what sets this one apart. It doesn't take anything away from the standard cruise line experience to feature this heroes and villains theme. It only adds onto it. And while the spotlight is being cast on characters that don't always get it, it doesn't make this ship a worse choice for families or for young children who don't really connect with villains. But it more so makes it an unexpectedly perfect one for certain groups of people who may not have felt the Disney Cruise Line brand speaking to them as strongly. If you are an adult, I think this is the strongest ship of the Wish class ships for you. I think that there are experiences here you can't get elsewhere that are tailor-made for you and allow you to live with these characters in a way you haven't seen before that will especially speak to you as an adult on a Disney cruise. If you are a Marvel fan, what more do I need to say? There's not only Worlds of Marvel, a Marvel-themed restaurant, but there are so many different Marvel interactions that you will have on this cruise ship that people of all ages will like. But if you're a Marvel person, they will resonate with you so deeply. And if you've been craving that kind of in-person connection with Marvel the same way many people get to experience with core Disney characters in the parks, this is for you. And also, if you're traveling with kids at an age where they're like, into Disney, but like they don't want to meet a princess. They're not out here gunning to meet Rapunzel and Flynn Rider. There's a lot of stuff for them. Can I show you the Haunted Mansion Bar? The Sanctum Lounge, which by the way is a very cool Marvel-inspired space. You can go hang out with Spider-Man. You can go see Loki declare himself king of the ship. And all of those speak to a group where it doesn't take away from anyone else, but it's not the experience you would typically have. It's like, the flavor palette is different on the Disney Destiny. It's like holiday vanilla Coke Zero. It's still Disney. It's still Disney Cruise Line, but it's got a little something special extra to distinguish it from all the others. Because my favorite parts of this cruise ship are the ones I did not see coming at all. I should have done like a before after video and it would have been completely unexpected for my favorite things. My four favorite experiences on board were all entertainment. Two character interactions, a stage show, and an adults-only comedy show. You know what I'm not doing ever? Ever? Adult-only shows on a cruise ship. Oh, the match game is fun. Oh, the couples game is funny. I don't care. I don't care. To me, it's like beep, beep, vroom, vroom, pulling into Hokey Town population, the amount of people that are currently in that mixed-use room. No offense. But I'm just someone who doesn't like Bravo. I don't like reality TV. I am here through and through for a scripted good time. But this one show, With Great Power, it was the highlight of my entire sailing. If we're being honest, it was the very best thing I saw the entire trip. I was dying of laughter. It was the type of thing that I would have expected to see back in my UCB days, like back in New York in the 2010s at the Comedy Theater, seeing incredible scripted shows with people who are now superstars on TV. Like, that was the level of laughs. But on top of that, how was this approved by legal? How was this adults-only Marvel show approved by Disney lawyers? If any of you watching are a Disney lawyer who approved the show, please slide into my DMs. I have some off-the-record questions that I really would love to ask you. This show is essentially hosted by these storytellers who appear on the ship in many, many different activities to the point where you're like, these are the hardest working two on the ship because they're everywhere. They are Zaya and Gamble, but I just usually call them the storytellers. Honestly, I call them the ringleaders to the people I was on the cruise with. They're just always there causing so much fun. Pro tip for Disney Destiny, wherever these two are, you want to be. They are hilarious. But this show, essentially, With Great Power, was an interpretation of Marvel themes and stories that could have been so bad. It could have been so cheesy. The potential for failure here was the highest high it has ever been. And yet, it was art. It was art. The way they interpreted it, the way they staged it, the way they acted it, it was unbelievably funny. But that's not all. You get here early, like I got there like 30, 40 minutes early, I think, for this lounge singer setup, which I didn't really know what to expect from the show. I knew absolutely no details. I knew there was a kind of version of this that was Indiana Jones inspired on the, I almost said Disney Adventure. That new ship is just on the Disney Treasure, but I somehow never saw it. So when I knew that this was on the schedule, I was like, I have to be there. We showed up early. We knew there was going to be a lounge singer. I just figured it'd be like one of the talented people aboard the ship singing like a jazzy rendition of A Whole New World. Like that's kind of what I thought I was getting into. No, it was like watching the most talented person you've ever seen sing live in their lives directly in front of you. And it felt like we were in some sort of speakeasy, even though we were in a space that I literally had a panel meeting at like 36 hours later. It transformed the room. This little bit, I don't even really know how that connected to the Marvel show. There's something in the storytelling where I don't know. I guess maybe you're like in that lounge in the story and then these people come out to perform. I don't know. I'm not asking any questions because it was so good. We basically just saw this unbelievable show. And then they were like, okay, now you're going to laugh the hardest you've ever laughed on a cruise ship. It was so funny. It was so like the talent, like the, it's just like the talent. It was so good. I can't, I'm going to be yelling talent a lot of this episode, but I had the time of my life at this. Both ends of it were so good. And most importantly, the script of this show made me feel so seen. To go back to what I said earlier about Disney millennials, I walked away from that show being like, they understood me. And also, I don't know how that script got approved. There is a part that I posted on social media with a certain Marvel character. I won't say it in case you were avoiding things, but they drop a hoop-de-doo joke as a reference. Like, if you are in the ocean talking about hoop-de-doo musical review, you have written this show for me. Me and all of my fellow Disney millennials. That is who it's for. And even though this park isn't as overtly Disney parks leaning as the Disney Treasure happens to be because of the theming of their bars, it still felt like, oh, we are among Disney parks people. And that was so special. That was one of the highlights of my trip. But the two character experiences that spoke to me kind of blew my mind. I did Troublemakers, which is this Cruella de Vil interactive, not even like an activity, let's call it an activity, inside de Vil's, which is one of the lounges aboard the ship, themed to Cruella de Vil, obviously. But oh my Lord. I was sitting there, and I'll explain what it is in a second, but I was sitting there watching this happen going, how did this not exist before? It's so new. It reinvents the wheel of what we can expect on Disney Cruise Line. And yet, it's so Disney. It doesn't make sense that we haven't had this on Disney Cruise Line the entire time. I'm going to spoil it a bit. I'm just going to tell you what it is. It does kind of give away the mystery. So if you want to skip ahead like a minute and a half. Now you gather in de Vil's, which is, again, a Cruella de Vil themed bar. And the two storytellers, our favorite, come in. We're talking, we're singing, we're gabbing. They're playing the Cruella de Vil theme song. She comes in and she expresses that she is very displeased with this song. I mean, it is quite rude. Then again, she does murder puppies for fashion. So, you know, pick your poison. There's a little of both things happening there. She leaves the room and we all together collectively write her a new song. It is this it's like songwriting camp for Rihanna, only you're on Disney Cruise Line and it's for Cruella de freaking Vil. And it was so much fun because this is a character interaction that is unlike anything else. But to interact with Cruella de Vil as a group of like 50 people this way, that is the future of Disney experiences. It's not an escape room. It's not a freaking community in Palm Springs. Okay, honey, I don't like Catino and I'm not afraid to say it. It is bridging the gap between screen and self. They made a passive experience of watching a film reactive. We got to participate in an extension of a song that we know from the movie. I walked away from Troublemakers and I got right back in line because I was like, my mom needs to see this. This is wild. And I think at first glance, people wouldn't think that's so out of the box for Disney Cruise Line. But they don't do stuff like this. Like they don't have Cruella de Vil appear in her bar, leave. You present her with a song you all wrote. You all sing it to her and then you see her reaction. They did something new and different with this ship and it is so exciting because you know how hard it is for a corporation this big to be nimble, okay? Do you remember back in the day when Disney would be on Twitter and they would post something like 48 hours after the moment and you'd be like, oh my God, you just know that there were so many email threads being like, okay, can we say this? Can we post this? Can we do this? Can we do this? Now, look at their social media presence. Look at their TikTok. It's so good. The growth that they've had there is unfathomable. And now, like, the Disney account is really a tastemaker. That's what I feel like the entertainment on this ship is doing. It really felt like they opened the Disney Destiny. They gave a gaggle of theater kids the keys and were like, you do you, go ahead. And it feels so different and so refreshing, but still so Disney. I mean, we haven't even talked about Dr. Facilier's parlor yet. And this one, I will not be spoiling for you. I just want you to know It was a very, very small, very intimate character experience. We had about 8 or 9 people in our group. I've heard that some groups had about 15 because I was in the very first group that went at all in our sailing. Like I said, in a way, my job as a theme park reporter means that I should just be going on free vacations. That is a path you can take. I instead treat it like I am on the highest stress day of my entire career. And I take it very seriously and I have to do everything because I have to report back on it. That's just how my brain works. I have like old school newspaper brain that I can't shake it. I was like, feeling bad that I posted a video that I met a character in the middle of my workday, even though I scheduled it out because I had not met a character in that location and I felt like it was something I had to do for my job so I can make it work. I overthink everything. And if you're new here, welcome. And if you're not new here, y'all already know this. You listen to one Gab session, you know that I'm always worrying about everything. Oh, right, Dr. Facilier's parlor. So I am at this christening event. Everyone's partying. Everyone's like having champagne, whatever. I'm standing like near the exit to get back on the ship, texting my mom being like, go to the Disney studio. I don't know what the Disney studio is. It's a photo place. It's in Deck 5. Ask people where it is. Go to guest services and ask them. And then stand outside and wait in line. There's going to be a thing in there. Like I was not messing around. I was getting in Dr. Facilier's parlor. I was getting it done. And I'm so glad I did because it is not what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was just gonna be a little like, hello, hello, goodbye. No, it was a moment. It was the type of memory you come home with, like that's in the top 3 from your trip. It was so cool because we didn't just meet Dr. Facilier. We got to experience something with him. And it was, I would say it's unlike anything Disney has done. It's unlike anything Disney Cruise Line has ever done. But the thing it does remind me of that other people have said that I just want to echo here is that it feels a little bit of Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser magic. Now, as we know, Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser is no longer with us, but the memories remain. But it seems like they took theatrical lessons from that experience and applied it here in a way that feels special and intimate, but is also scalable for the entirety of the cruise. Because this is something that even if there's a line, they offer it a few different times, like you're still going to be able to do it most likely. And it was so cool because they essentially shoved this tiny little show, this tiny private show, into the nook and cranny of a cruise ship. They are basically using the Disney Destiny like it's a tiny ship, like it's the wonder or the magic, and it's so freaking smart. There is no escape room on any competitor cruise ship that could ever compare to a 5-minute intimate moment with Dr. Facilier. Just being face to face with a character you've seen on screen is bone-chillingly powerful. And not in a, like, say hello, have awkward small talk before a PhotoPass photographer snaps a picture and people are waiting in line. No, the door is closed. You are in there with him. You are experiencing this moment of face-to-face interactive theater. It's truly a moment of pure and literal magic. In the Disney studio. Who even knows what that is? That's the place where you take like Christmas cards and possibly LinkedIn headshots. Like this is a place that was not being used for anything anyone was raving about on a Disney cruise. And here, this is the perfect example of how they are turning things out left and right. It's still Disney, it's still Disney Cruise Line, but it is done in a totally special way. And if Dr. Facilier's parlor, if you have a young kid, if you're like, I don't know, I can't make the time, it doesn't work for my schedule. They are also doing character meets in the Disney studio in this small little closet-like area. And that itself is a character experience that we haven't seen. That you can meet a character in there too and not just wide out in the open. It's wild. And it really brings us back to Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser because that was a lot of that journey, was that you experience something with the character. They pull you in. They talk to you directly. They look you in the eye. And you're not just a one-on-one, hi, I'm saying hello, I'm moving on. There is a group of people who are making this magic in person that happens in DeVille's with Troublemakers, that happens here in Dr. Facilier's parlor. You are now all in the experience together. It's very Sleep No More. It's very Star Cruiser. And it's very not something I ever expected from Disney Cruise Line. And now I can't stop craving it on all of their ships. The entertainment team of the Disney Destiny put their whole butt into this ship. I'm not even joking. And we haven't even talked about the main event. We haven't even talked about Hercules. Dude. Listen. Okay, listen. Listen. First of all, the talent level on this ship could not go any harder. And I say that not to insult anyone who's on a cruise ship. People on cruise ships are sometimes like, oh, cruise ship talent, there's a stigma, okay? We can address it openly. There is a stigma, which is regularly proven false. But the talent level here is unlike anything I've ever seen. And I say that having just gone on a Royal Caribbean ship that had a bunch of Olympians living on it. I have never seen performers or performances like this on a Disney cruise ship. It is a level above and something you, when you sail on this, will also be talking about. Also, they did such a good job of bringing me into the world of Hercules on stage that night that I visited the Hercules-themed Royal Suite on the Disney Destiny. I had an interview in there. It's coming out later. Stay tuned. It's a really fun one. And they had this huge tile mosaic of Hercules from the 90s film. And I am not lying when I say this. I looked up and out loud I went, that's not my Hercules, because my Hercules is Corey J. Bradford, the gentleman who plays Hercules in the stage show. He is Hercules. Like, I can't explain it. It's not like, oh, you guys are the Disney Cruise Line cast and you appear on stage in different shows. No, Corey is Hercules. I saw him walking around the ship and I gasped, oh, celebrity sighting. I also, like, Lance Bass was there and I was more excited to see Corey Bradford on the ship. Like, I've never experienced that with any actor in any other show on Disney Cruise Line ever. And when he showed up at the finale, there's like a big show at the end of the cruise. It's like, we all say goodbye. It was exceptional. When he shows up as part of that, he like sticks, you know, like walks out and he's like, oh, Hercules. People lost their minds. And I lost my mind too, because it was like, that's our guy. That's our hero. And the whole ship just, we all lost it. And it just really reinforced how good of a theme this is. It's such a good, it's like, theater people would say it's such a good sandbox to play in because there's so much conflict there, but also the hero end of it, which is what I wasn't sure how that was going to connect to us. It connected. Like, this dude is so much more than just a person on stage in a show. This show, I'd say, like, the glory of the show extends far beyond the Walt Disney Theater. It is really something special. Hercules on board this ship was just an utter delight. It was so high energy that the dancers in the far background were pulling my attention because they were so talented and doing such good choreography. As a reminder, the show was co-directed by these brothers, Kevin and Marcel Wilson, and the creative I spoke with likened it to a pop concert, and that's what it is. I don't want to spoil it because no footage of this really exists. You're not allowed to film in there. You're not allowed to take photos. So any glimpse we have of this musical that we can share is what Disney themselves has released. But the staging, the performances, the music, the puppetry. I mean, Moana, which is on the Disney Treasure, had a bigger solo puppet moment, but this one had more puppet moments throughout the entire show. And I don't want to spoil the show because I want you to enjoy it without any reference, without knowing anything that happens on stage. But this is a bit of a spoiler. If you know Hercules, it's not a spoiler. But, you know, he fights the Hydra. We know that. There's going to be a Hydra puppet. There's going to be that. But in interviewing the people involved in the show and learning that all, what, like 6'5" of this man had to fit inside a Hydra that is actively being puppeteered by another person. Like, they worked so hard on bringing this movie to life. And it's not, we don't always get something like a Hercules on stage. It was bright and it was lively and it was energetic and I loved it. And what I've learned in, you know, chit-chatting with my colleagues is that some people are more Moana people. Moana is the show on board the Disney Treasure. I am more of a Hercules gal. I would get here so early to get good seats, and I won't do that for just anything. That is precious cruise time. That is time I could be slurping down more soft serve, which, by the way, I wouldn't chalk this up to the Disney Destiny specifically, but the soft serve was unparalleled on this cruise. It's usually a little icy. You know, it's like that icy vanilla. It was creamy. It was essentially Cars Land Cozy Cone soft serve, okay? I don't want to set expectations because I did get it one time and it was a little more icy, but when it was creamy in a way I've never experienced on the ship. Never experienced on the ship. And I would miss out on that just to get a good seat at Hercules. But while I loved what they've done with the characters and how they staged this musical on board the ship, I didn't love everything. And we'll get into that and answering all of your pressing questions after this break. It's It finally happened. There is a cool breeze in the air in Los Angeles, which means winter is upon us. And if you, like me, are realizing now's the time to snag those layers that'll last you through this season and seasons in the years ahead, there's nowhere else to look but Quince. We all know about their $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters, which, wow. But they've got so much more than that. We're talking denim that never goes out of style, silk tops and skirts that add pizzazz to your staples, and down outerwear built to take on the season no matter if you live in a town with actual winter or, like me, you're freezing when it drops to 60. Basically, Quince is your cheat code for looking like the chicest person in your office, classroom, or coffee shop. I recently needed some staples, mainly like a few neutral sweaters because I don't have any, and I loaded up on my seasonal must-haves with Quince because, duh, where else would I go? Their clothes are high quality and rival high-end brands without the high-end markups. Everything you need is right here on Quince, and it's even better than you can imagine. A champagne cream washable silk maxi skirt, red Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater, and Italian leather strappy sandals? That's everything you would need to piece together different outfits this holiday season. And if you think you'll be cold in that getup, they've got Italian wool coats too. So step into the holiday season with layers made to feel good, looked polished, and last from Quince. Perfect for gifting or, honestly, keeping for yourself. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. If you can't make a decision like I can't, Quince is there for you. And it's now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing. I have a serious admission to make. I am completely over delivery food. It's expensive, it makes my tummy hurt, and it's never good. It's never good enough. It's never what I want it to be. And I get it. I do. Cooking takes a lot of time, and grocery shopping is stressful. But if you think you have to spend big bucks or tons of time in the kitchen to make delicious food at home, you don't, thanks to EveryPlate. Truly, it's like they're delivering home-cooked food to you. Best of both worlds. With EveryPlate, you get restaurant-level deliciousness week after week with recipes like crispy buffalo ranch chicken and cheesy Mexican street corn hash. The portions are huge, they're delicious, and because you don't have to do that dumb thing you usually do where you like buy an onion, just use a quarter of it, and then it rots away in your fridge reminding you of all the money you wasted, they prepackage ingredients, so there's absolutely no waste. You'll spend less on these flavor-packed homemade meals than you would on your normal groceries or even at a restaurant. And you even don't have to park at that cursed grocery store parking lot on Santa Monica and Fairfax. If you live in LA, you know what I'm talking about. It is misery. You won't get bored cooking the same things over and over either, thanks to EveryPlate's constantly rotating weekly recipes that take 30 minutes or less and are delivered right to your door. I love EveryPlate because I'm not a chef. I'm just pushing stuff around on a skillet. But their easy-to-read instructions have me accomplishing things in the kitchen I never thought I could have. And also keep me streamlined between deciding between all of the foods that exist in the world. There are too many options out there. But here with EveryPlate, there are just enough. Never again ask, what's for dinner? Because you're in charge, eating like you're at a restaurant, but you're the chef. So what are you waiting for? Dig into these flavor-packed meals your household will love. New customers can enjoy this special offer of only $1.99 per meal. Go to everyplate.com/podcast and use the code AMUSING199 to get started. Apply the discount on first box limited time only. That's everyplate.com/podcast. Use code AMUSING199. It's time to start bumping those tunes and burning those gingerbread candles because believe it or not, the holidays are right around the corner. And when you start planning your festive Thanksgiving and holiday meals and treats, let me let you in on your secret culinary weapon, frozen Washington red raspberries. They're a simple holiday hack that saves time in the kitchen without sacrificing flavor. No added sugars, no preservatives, just the ultimate shortcut to flavor, picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours to lock in their bright, sweet tart taste. I'm getting ready to razz up my celebratory creations by planning a little festive mocktail with the little beauties. Because I'll be real with you, I am a last minute girly, and having them on hand in the freezer is clutch for me when it comes to entertaining. When you buy American grown frozen raspberries, you are getting fresh off the field flavor all year round. These berries aren't a byproduct of fresh, they're crafted specifically to be frozen. That means better texture, better taste, and better results in your kitchen. Grown by passionate farmers in Washington State, they're frozen with care to ensure top quality and food safety. Plus, Frozen fruit lasts longer, helps cut food waste. If you've seen the bin in my refrigerator, you know what they're talking about. And is always ready when you are. Want to learn more details on where to find American-grown frozen red raspberries, plus recipe ideas and cooking tips? Head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. Ooh, ZZ is fun to say out loud. You'll find participating retailers like Costco, Kroger, and Meijer, an inspiration for every meal. Plus info on how these berries go from farm to freezer with quality you can taste. And when you're out shopping, look for product of the U.S. on the bag. Or pick up some good stuff made with them, like the Kirkland Signature 3 Berry Blend at Costco, or even Smucker's Peanut Butter and Raspberry Uncrustables, all of which are made with frozen Washington red raspberries. Naturally delicious and always in season? That's the real gift this holiday season.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by CHEV.
Welcome back. There was a lot to love about the Disney Destiny, but there's one experience I thought would be ranked right up there with the others, and unfortunately, it fell kind of short. Pride-Lands Feast of the Lion King just didn't cut it for me. Before we get into it, I just have to say, the talent on this cruise ship, what was happening on that stage was beautiful. Oh my Lord, it was stunning. The music, the performances, the dancing, it was incredible. But at the end of the day, my gut is just that it's not right for this restaurant location on the ship. Now, if you're not familiar with Wish Class ships on Disney Cruise Line, they each have three different restaurants and you rotate between them every night of your sailing. There's 1923, which is on all three of these ships. There's also Worlds of Marvel, which is on all three of these ships. This kind of theater restaurant changes between the different ships. So this is the only Lion King restaurant that Disney Cruise Line has. And listen, we're talking about how this ship pushes boundaries. They did that with Hercules, and it blew my mind. They did that with the character meets, and they opened my eyes to what could be possible. And they tried that with this one, and it's just not the right fit. Again, everyone on stage is slaying. There's like no way for me to explain to you how good the performances were. But the show is so loud that you can't really make conversation. Many of us had our orders at our table done incorrectly, I think because of the noise level in this restaurant. It made it really chaotic. And we're already dealing with a chaotic layout. My main complaint about the Wish Class ships, I've said this on all of our episodes about the Disney Wish and the Disney Treasure and now the Disney Destiny. The restaurant layouts are bad. They're bad. I'm just going to say it. Whoever designed these, I don't know if maybe they haven't sat in a chair before, but it really doesn't make sense how all of the tables are on top of each other. The chairs are so heavy that you can't really scoot them in so the waiters can't get past easily. And everything just feels condensed and on top of each other and uncomfortable. So when you add in a loud show and a lot going on, it just really amplifies that a lot. At the end of the day, it is a live show during a meal. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be frenetic. But for me, the biggest critique I have is that the story narrative was kind of hard to connect to as an audience member. There's really no touch point for people sitting there except to be a passive member of the audience. And that lack of interactivity is even more heightened when you view it through the lens of a child. If we're pulling music from the Lion King show on Broadway for this stage rendition, why is there nary a puppet? Or why aren't kids making their own animal projects at the table? Why is there no point in the show where adults are finishing appetizers, kids have just demolished a plate of macaroni and cheese, that a puppeteered animal comes out and walks around similar to the Frozen version where they have Olaf? And I'm sure that they debated this internally. The art and the IP and the back and the forth. I get it, because again, the show that they launched with is stunning. But with Lion King particularly, you have a path to do that, to do the interactivity, to do animal puppetry, to do something that younger guests and older, because all of our attention waned at our table of like 8 people. You have a way for people to interact with this story and this music more than just watching the colors change on the walls to emulate sunset and sunrise. There was a way to do this that Broadway has already laid out. They could have just emulated the other in-person Lion King experiences we have, and it would have solved a big chunk of the issue. It was right there. It was right there. And the choice to omit that is a bummer because I think it makes this show not as family friendly as it could be. Like, if I brought my child to this, I think she would be overwhelmed. We would probably leave pretty quickly, which is a shame because the food is fantastic. The food is fantastic. It does depend on what you order. We tried some things that we weren't as into. I tried some things that were gangbusters good, but the order I had was beyond. I had a curried apricot chicken as an appetizer, which the sauce it came with, oh my Lord, I would have ordered more of it if it wasn't, again, pretty chaotic meal. But I ordered an entree that I need to tell you about. It was the Ras Al Hanout Spiced Tomato Braised Lamb Shank with cracked toasted bulgur wheat, mint, spinach, summer squash, and pomegranate arils. Oh, I didn't plan on how to say that word because I was going to say, you know you're cooking with gas on a Disney cruise ship when I have to Google how to pronounce a dish. That goes against everything anyone would expect on a Disney ship, and it's that good. Now, this was a spice mix with ground cumin, ginger, turmeric, cinnamon, coriander, pepper, and more. It's used in Moroccan cuisine. And this lamb entree, you guys, it was the best thing I ate on the Disney Destiny and possibly on Disney Cruise Line ever. Now, I've been to Enchanté. I actually went on this sailing as well, which was great. I'll talk about that in a second. But this lamb lingers in my mind in a way that no other restaurant dish has. And let me give you a little example. We're sitting there. I'm eating my lamb. It's the biggest portion I've ever seen. I'm just chowing down, giving people bites, being like, you need to taste this to believe it. I'm eating. I'm loving life. I'm eating myself sick. You know when you eat so much that you're like, it's so good. I'm choosing to be ill. That's where I was at. It was so good that I was like, this will all be in my body. I need to take it home like a souvenir. I look over, I see my friend Dave. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go say hi to Dave. I go say hi to Dave. I come back. We are one of the last people in the restaurant at this point. The lamb is gone and my dessert is on the table. And when I tell you, I faced a severe depression over my lamb being gone that lasted days. The dish was that good. And that's what's so frustrating about this dining experience, because they nailed the menu. They nailed it. The talent is jaw-dropping. The performances are shocking. I went to the bathroom during, and I came back, and there was a song being sung, and I was just like, oh my Lord, this is the restaurant I get to eat at? How could I be so lucky? But in the end, it didn't all come together, and I really wouldn't look as forward to this as I would for the comparable experiences on the other Wish-class ships. I did find the design of the room to even be less enthralling than the other restaurants. That's Arendelle, A Frozen Dining Adventure. Sorry, I short-circuited there. And Plaza de Coco, which I think is reigning supreme for me as the best version of this. But it needs to be adjusted. It needs to be fixed. There needs to be something to bring people in with interactivity. It can be tweaked, but this one is just not batting 100 like some of the other favorite experiences I had on board. And speaking of, now this is a Wish class ship. This is the first time that Disney has ever made 3 of a cruise ship, which means that there are parallels to be drawn between all of them. And I'd be remiss if my coverage of this cruise ship didn't at least lay all of that out for you. It's really not nice to like pit siblings against each other, but you need to know this stuff to know your future travel plans, which is what we're gonna do. Now again, this is the Disney Wish, the Disney Treasure, and the Disney Destiny. The Disney Wish sails for 3 and 4 nights out of Port Canaveral, which is near but not that close to Orlando. The Disney Treasure is 7 night itineraries out of Port Canaveral. And Disney Destiny is 3 and 4 nights from Port Everglades. If you are not familiar with this port, I recommend going back and listening to our Disney Magic episode. I raved about how great this port was in that one, and I want to do that again here too, because not only can you fly to Miami and then travel into Fort Lauderdale, you can fly to a small airport You can fly to Fort Lauderdale, which, by the way, has a Dunkin'. Has a Dunkin'. That's really important for me at an airport to have a good Dunkin'. Fly into that airport, and it is so easy. Like, how do I even explain this? You fly in, it's maybe like 12 minutes to the terminal from the airport. They have so many flights in there. It is so quick. That hotel is really nice. I tend to default emotionally to Port Canaveral because I like to do as much as possible. I call myself the queen of doing too much. So the idea of flying into MCO, into Orlando, you do Disney World for like 4 or 5 days. Then you go on a cruise, the perfect vacation. But you don't always have like 10 days to take a vacation. And the fact that you can easily, breezily be in and out of Port Everglades, flying for the cruise, fly home, get this really compact, incredible Disney vacation easily is something that I usually would not encourage you to do because I love a theme park and I am selfish. However, there's now theme parky experiences on board. You can get a little taste of Haunted Mansion. You can really like get this, ooh, this Heroes Villains theme. Like that feels more theme park than a traditional cruise. And I just want to make sure no one is sleeping on Port Everglades because I will admit I was sleeping on Port Everglades and it's actually a pretty tight setup. Like I'm already in my brain being like, okay, I could fly in, stay at that sick hotel, get to the port so quickly, get to the airport so quickly, get home in the afternoon to LA, which is what I did. Like it is so doable. Don't write it off. Don't write it off. And between the three ships, there is the Disney Wish, which has like a lighter, more princessy feel. Their grand hall, their atrium, the middle of their ship is very gilded. It feels like an enchanted castle. Similarly, or I guess quite different, don't know why I said similarly, the Disney Treasure is jewel-toned. It has this Aladdin inspiration. It has great carpeting and mosaic work. It has like a lot of Moroccan themes going on. And then the Disney Destiny is straight up Marvel goodness. There is a lot of inspiration from the color palette of Wakanda. There is a vibranium chandelier. So there are a lot of purples and golds, but at certain points, because this is a themed ship, Disney's first one ever, when Loki appears and takes over, everything changes to green. And so it is, the stage is in a way kind of a character. And I know that's like Sex and the City, they're like, New York was a fifth friend. Like, no, that's kind of true here. The atrium, the grand hall, it kind of is a character. So side by side, I can't choose, and I'm not going to choose. That's my stance. There are some other ones I will choose, but each one really delivers something else, and it's hard to pick. I really can't believe we even have like some of these themes at sea. I would have never expected it, and it's pretty remarkable, so I'm not going to choose one. But let's break down some of the bars, shall we? Now, the main bar closest to the atrium. On the Disney Wish, it's Nightingales. It is ever so slightly themed by Cinderella. Then there's Scat Cat Lounge. See, I cursed myself when I said I pronounced something well earlier. Scat Cat Lounge, which is themed to the Aristocats. And then there is DeVille's. And DeVille's takes it far and away. There hasn't been a bar like this where I step into it and I go, oh, this is it. Like, oh, this is the best version of this that it could possibly be. And then you add something like Treble Makers and the character themselves coming in. Again, far and away DeVille's. To have a piano bar tied to such a vibrant character motif. And like, it's, this is one of the reasons why I would actively want to sail this ship again, because that is something you can't get elsewhere. And it is so good. Then there is the lounge, which is open to both walkways. People can hang out there during the day. It's a little bit of a mixed use space, but it is still somewhat of a very themed lounge. It is the Bayou, Princess and the Frog themed on the Disney Wish. Skipper Society, Jungle Cruise themed on the Disney Treasure, themed to a Disney attraction. We love that. And the Sanctum on the Disney Destiny. And I'm going to tell you, I thought I wasn't going to like it. I thought I was going to walk in and be like, all right, we get it with the Marvel of it all. Like we have, you know, we have a Marvel themed atrium. We have Marvel here. The Sanctum was pretty good. And after the time I spent in this space, I really realized that they're all so different and the spaces feel completely different. There are areas of each that I prefer. I prefer to sit in like the open seating area in the Tiana inspired one. I prefer to sit in those like the circular booths that are in the Skipper Society. And then I prefer to sit at the bar in the Sanctum. They really did such a good job of transforming this open space that really doesn't have that many walls. Like it's just open to the walkways. They really did a good job of transforming it for each kind of storyline. So those are tight. I like the Sanctum more than I thought. Then there's the tucked away, kind of closed off themed bar. This is Star Wars Hyperspace Lounge on the Disney Wish and Haunted Mansion Parlor on both the Disney Treasure and the Disney Destiny. There aren't really many big differences between the two Haunted Mansion ones, between those two ships, but Haunted Mansion takes it far and away. I'm sorry, I personally am experiencing a little bit of Star Wars fatigue. It's just been like, oh, I've like reported on Star Wars so much for so long that having a bar themed to a ride that we all love that doesn't have an eatery that you can go to is so exclusive, so one of a kind, well, two of a kind technically, and just really, really nice to spend time in there and be like, oh, I feel like I broke a rule, I feel like I'm going to Disney jail, I stepped off a doom buggy and I'm in a ride, and that is what the place feels like, and it's great. The pub, there's Keg and Compass on the Wish, there's Periscope Pub, which is pretty cool, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea themed on the Disney Treasure, and Cask and Cannon here on the Disney Destiny, which is Pirates of the Caribbean themed. Honestly, spin me around three times and I couldn't tell the difference between them. I am not really someone who's hanging out at the pub. I'm hanging out in the other themed spaces, but they're all fine. And there's like a really robust food menu if you want to order food there. Aquamouse, the water coaster at sea. The storyline does change between the different ships, but listen, there was not a chance that I was going to go on it on the Disney Destiny. It was cold. It was a cold sailing, so much so that like we were outside shivering. Was I eating soft serve while I did it? Yes, because like I said, it was so creamy I had to fit it in. But it was cold, cold during the scheduled times when we were able to go on it as media and film. So anybody you see on your feed who went on it is a hero. They are the Lord's strongest soldier, and that could not be me. Quincy at All Ears, I'm talking to you. Truly, like, couldn't believe people actually went. It wasn't even a thought in my mind. The weather was so cold that I was like, I didn't even see the Aquamouse. I didn't even go to that deck, okay? So we're gonna have to revisit that in the future. But I did a little bit of research, and according to the website, there are two different stories on the Destiny, which I hadn't heard before, because it says that the one that's on the Treasure is also on the Destiny, but maybe that's a typo, maybe that's true, but the Destiny isn't that long of a sailing. You'd think the Treasure would have two themes. Anyway, the one that is exclusive to the Disney Destiny is that Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse are going to the peak of Villain Mountain. They're going to encounter the Queen of Hearts, Scar from Lion King, Chernabog from Fantasia, and other nefarious no-gooders. And this really just reminds me of how good Villains Land at Magic Kingdom might be. Now, Disney has not fully leaned into any villains experience in a permanent way until this. This is really Disney's first villain-forward effort. And from what I've seen on this ship and just seeing the storylines and the characters they pulled from, again, the artwork throughout the ship, it's Disney Cruise Line, but oh, it's characters we don't always see all the time. The Cinderella wall where you would expect princess artwork is instead cool artwork of the stepsisters. That type of stuff makes me know and makes me have faith that whatever Villains Land comes to Magic Kingdom is going to be good. As I said, 1923 Worlds of Marvel, same on all the ships. I actually didn't go to those on the sailing because I went to Enchanté. How did I end up in Enchanté? Great question. It appeared in my itinerary and I asked zero questions. I saw it. I gasped on my way to Fort Lauderdale. I gasped. I texted it to my mom and I was like, Mom is on the count. We're going to Enchanté. I think we're going to Enchanté. It might be me. I don't know what's happening. Like, I was so excited. And ended up being a bunch of my colleagues. I got to sit with two of my colleagues at this meal. It was lovely. I cannot recommend it enough on any of the ships. And I know it's a bitter pill to swallow to get on a cruise ship and then spend extra money on food when you've already paid for food. But this restaurant, Chef Arnaud Lamont, which I have said so many times out loud now because he has a restaurant on every single ship that I will never mispronounce it. Like, you have to think of this meal as you getting half off, even like 60 to 70% off, as a comparable meal on land. This is a meal that if you went to a restaurant for, would cost you $500 minimum. And it is significantly less than that here. So if you've been on the fence, just think of it that way. It could be a once in a lifetime meal. And really, because you've already paid for the cruise and you're already there, I think it is worth doing it here and having a little less sticker shock, but also a wonderful experience. Now, I took economics a very long time ago, but I'm pretty sure there's something called the sunken cost fallacy, and I'm not entirely sure if that works in my favor or not. But you should do it. I'm not here for math. I'm here for vibes. I'm here for vibes, but also the food is incredible. And again, if you had a meal like this anywhere else, it would cost easily twice as much, possibly three times as much. And sometimes, like, if you go, like, at night, it's so beautiful. If you at night, like, it's such an elegant meal. We had such a lovely time. The service is extraordinary. The quality of food is unlike anything you could imagine. But if you go during the day or if you go an early dinner reservation, you have a view, You have like the most perfect view facing out of the ship. It is lovely, lovely, lovely. And while I do love the different themes of the mixed-use spaces on board, here that space was called Saga, but really it's just a room that they use for many, many different things. Adult programming, other stuff during the day. I like all of them on each individual ship, but I was really impressed with the way they used it here because they did this hybridized Maleficent meet and greet where the screen behind Maleficent transported us to different locations in her story. And then guests were invited up kind of row by row to meet her. I do think that operationally it's a little tricky because the show element is cool. She invites a few people up on stage, asks them some questions, but the storyline doesn't lead past there. She's just like, are you on my side? And they're like, yeah. And then she's like, cool. Next person. And then you're basically waiting in a very long meet and greet line because everyone arrived at the same time. So you like if you're in the back of the theater, you're waiting much longer. But I love the concept of it. Visually stunning. Like what they've done in the space is phenomenal. And again, something new, a new type of character encounter and to experience Maleficent in a Maleficent space. Again, just like they've created these little Dr. Facilier space. It is really, really unique. Now, one of my Instagram subscribers asked me if this ship is my favorite. And that is a question I don't think I can answer. Like, listen, I am sick in the head. I am emotionally bonded to the Disney Wonder. I've spent almost 2 weeks on that ship, so it has a place in my heart because I feel like I've lived there. But of these three new ships, I am most likely to go back on the Wish. I haven't been there in years. I have a princess freak as a child. She's obsessed with Cinderella. And with the Frozen restaurant, it is just a better fit for us. She loves Frozen and there's Frozen on the ship, but she's not likely to sit for an entire show. However, the show that happens at the meal, that is something we can more easily pull off. But now that I've been on the Destiny, if I went on the Wish, I would miss the spaces on the Destiny. I do fear that now what I've seen what Disney can do entertainment-wise, I would go on the Wish or the Treasure and be like, oh, they don't have these like elevated character meet and greets. Or like, oh, they don't have a meet and greet like the Maleficent one. Or like, oh, I'm in a Princess and the Frog themed lounge, but like she's not gonna come and we're not gonna do an activity together. I always say that there is no best ship. There is no best Disney Cruise Line ship. There are pros and cons to them all. The food options are typically more robust and better on the newer ships, in my opinion, but the restaurant seating and spaces are roomier and more comfy on the older ones. The new bars and lounges are so cool, and adding in theme park themed places like a Haunted Mansion and Jungle Cruise inspired bar really speaks to me and actually alleviates that itch to be like, I'm on a cruise ship, but I should be in a park. I should be in a park. I'm a parks person. Like, it actually calms my anxiety in a way I would never have anticipated. But the intimate, smaller, less themed spaces on other ships are cozy and comfy, too. They're not fully Disney themed, which sometimes I want, but, you know, I am pulled more towards the themed areas. Because if I'm sailing with Disney, if I'm choosing to sail with Disney, I want to get the most Disney out of it possible. There are so many of these comparisons I could make. All of them are worthwhile. But in terms of the Wish class ships, the Treasure felt like an extension of the Wish, and this feels like a much further extension of that ship. What they have done with the Disney Destiny is different, and it's new, and I'm not just blown away by it. I can't stop talking about it. Really, I've gotten so used to what Disney Cruise Line is, and boarding the ship, they essentially staged three nights of entertainment that told me, girly, you don't even know what's possible. And given the bright future ahead for Disney Cruise Line and how many new ships are still to come, I have a renewed faith in the opportunities and experiences that they're going to offer. Like with a Wish class ship, with the first time doing three of one, they really had a chance to see what worked and change it and see what worked and changed it. And that editing process by the third really shows. And if you are a Disney Parks person, let me like pull out my soapbox and just get up here and preach a little. If you are a Disney Parks person and you have not gone on a Disney cruise, I do think it is time to say, what are you waiting for? Literally, what are you waiting for? I know that cruises in general, no brand specifically, cruises in our culture have this weird stigma where it's like, you're gonna like be floating with a bunch of people. You know what also makes no sense? Gravity, okay? And we're all still standing and going on roller coasters. So if you have not gone on a Disney cruise, if you've been curious, you're listening to this, you're like, that does sound kind of fun, but XYZ, stop thinking that way. Give it a shot. Everything is exceptional. The service, the food, the experience, the rooms. And I have been on the oldest ship and the newest ship within the past year and a half. Truly, Disney Cruise Line does something that nobody else does. And to see them do that in a different way just proves that they're not resting on their laurels, just churning out more ships. They are getting ready to bring us even more Disney-fied experiences. And there is something for everyone. I would not be preaching like this. Y'all know me. I would not be encouraging you to do something I don't think you would like. I don't speak in sweeping generalizations. I'm very opinionated. I said that the restaurants were designed by a madman. And yet, I still think that a Disney Cruise Line experience is kind of the peak pinnacle Disney experience you can get these days. I love a theme park. My heart is with theme parks. You all know this. And I don't want to ding the theme parks. I love the parks so much. Like, emotionally, I crave them and I need to be in them often. But Disney Cruise Line allows you, again, Disney Cruise Line allows you to experience a Disney vacation without the stress and planning of Disney parks. And as they keep churning these new ships out and giving you more and more and more themed experiences that are on par with what you would find inside one of their theme parks, I think Disney Cruise Line is truly hitting a level of execution that has happened so quickly and is so good that if you have been thinking about going, you should think a little harder. You should maybe take the plunge and check out Disney Cruise Line. Again, I would not encourage you to do something that I didn't wholeheartedly think you should do. But if you are a Disney Parks fan and you haven't done this yet, what are you waiting for? You're going to have the best time. Whenever I step off a Disney cruise ship, again, I've been on 2 or 3 this year. Like, I'm going pretty often. My life is a little different, but like, I go pretty often. And I stepped off the cruise constantly. The whole last night, I just kept being like, I just want to do this again for vacation. I just want to come again. I want to do it again. I'm like dreaming of the rooms. I'm dreaming of the beds. The beds are so comfy. I'm like dreaming of going back. And I've spent so much time on Disney Cruise Line. It just delivers. It's exactly what you want. And yes, Jeffrey, we will go on a cruise in 2026. I promised my friend Jeffrey that we were going to go on a friend cruise in 2026. Also, I didn't tell you, but I'm going to tell you now. I think Becky wants to join us. Becky of MEI Mouse Travel. We're all like real life friends. It's not an act. This is what I mean. I like will not lead you astray. And I think that if you've considered Disney Cruise Line ever, give it a shot. No ship is a bad choice. They're all fantastic. And anytime you have a question, please call the Churros hotline because there's nothing I would love more than to help you plan your trip. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any thoughts, feedback about the Disney Destiny specifically too, if there's anything else you want to know that I haven't answered in this episode, call me up. 747 Churros, I'm happy to answer. We're given this really unique experience where we go on this ship in a work capacity and we're able to ask questions. We're able to talk to people, which usually when you're just on vacation, you can't do. So because it was a media sailing, I was able to do a lot of stuff that you usually wouldn't be able to do if you just booked a ticket on the trip. Booked a cabin on the cruise. I didn't review an airline. So if you have anything you want to know about, please call in. It is my pride and joy, like truly the joy of my life to be able to use my pickiness and my particularity to help people plan a better trip. And I love doing it. So I hope you enjoyed. I can't believe I like left this cruise being enamored with Cruella de Vil. Like, that's how good the Disney Destiny was, where I left being like, wow, I love Cruella de Vil. And she's PETA's number one enemy. Like, she kills puppies. Okay. That's so good. Disney Destiny was so good. They made me love a girly who kills puppies. That's the takeaway. Thank you for listening. Call in if you have any questions. And oh man, I can't wait to get back on the ship. Tell me more of what you got for Deals, Deals, Deals.
Well, of course, DCL, Disney Cruise Line, is still offering their 50% off their deposit that's due at time of booking. So that's a really good one if you're kind of strapped for cash right now, but you really want to get a good gift for your family. You can get 50% off the deposit. And that's for cruises between March 2026 and even into May 27th. So you got a little bit there. If you're perfect vacation includes a pineapple and an umbrella, then you've got something at Alani because they are having their 25% off stays up to 5 nights or longer. And that is for most nights, January 4th, all the way to April 9th.
Ooh.
So another great idea to go and hang out with your family in a wonderful location. Now, remember when I was saying those Black Friday sales?
Yeah.
Here's one really quick. It's coming up right now. You can book by December 8th. And this is actually Celebrity Cruise Lines. you can save up to 75% off the second guest, believe it or not, or 50% off their second guest for the refundable fares, and the non-refundable fares are 75. So guess what, too? Free third, fourth, and fifth guest on their Black Friday sale.
Oh, everybody's coming.
I know. And imagine this. This is just one supplier, and they're now just starting to roll out these Black Friday sales, so keep your eye on them. Last but not least, we have an exclusive offer for Royal Caribbean, up to $100 onboard credit for staterooms that are booked by 12/8, by December 8th of this year. And that is valid on sailings that are all through 2026.
Oh my gosh.
I know. You can cruise, you can go to Alani, you can sip on a pineapple, you can have a great time in Walt Disney World, all at discounted rates.
Wow, Becky, thank you so much for blessing us with these discounts, and I can't wait to hear what's ahead if this is what we got now.
I know. Again, watch those Black Friday sales because that's going to be a key.
I love you, MEI Mouse Fan Travel.
Back at you.
Hey, Carly. Love the podcast. My family and I are getting ready to go to Walt Disney World in January. And our flight on our last day, Sunday, is later, so we don't really want to do a full park day. What would be your suggestion for resort hopping or something unique in the Orlando or Disney World area? Okay, thank you. Bye.
Truly my favorite kind of Churros hotline call. I love to just spew ideas at people. Like, my brain, I swear the lights are off upstairs in my head until someone's like, hey, where should I dine at Disney World? And it's like, zhoop, I'm like awoken. I'm kind of like when you see on TV, like when they like open, when they open a coffin and like a vampire comes out. That's what I feel like when people are like, where should I brunch? I am just awoken. I am summoned and I am here to help you. Now, there's a lot you can do. There's a lot in the Orlando area, which was my initial instinct, but you did say the Walt Disney World Resort area, so I'm going to keep it to that. I'm going to keep it to on-property Disney-themed stuff. Because again, you said you had a late flight, but I wasn't exactly sure if late was like 2 p.m. or if late was 7 p.m. So the plan I've made for you will work either way. And I will not lie, I was a little inspired by like the dance for Taylor Swift's The Fate of Ophelia. Like, we are truly going to be keeping it 100 on the land, the sea, and the sky with the things I am suggesting for you to do on your final day at Walt Disney World. Now, this begins, of course, with the most basic option, the one you've probably already thought of, a monorail tour. Duh, hopping on the monorail, going around to the parks. It does give you a little bit of like a little Disney fun, even if you are not going into the Magic Kingdom. However, I have some tips for this because I did this recently with my mom. If you have PhotoPass, anything like that, stopping in front of the Magic Kingdom to take a PhotoPass photo really does feel like you got away with something. It feels very special. And what I enjoyed doing was going to the hotels and not sitting down for a full meal. I just liked to go in all the stores, browse the corners of the resort you don't usually explore. Like, have you ever seen the Contemporary's pool? This would be a good time to do it. Or have you ever just kind of, I don't know, relaxed and gotten a coffee in Disney's Polynesian Village Resort? Just spend some time. You can walk around these hotels and it's totally fine and it's easy breezy. Maybe even take the walking path if you haven't done that from Disney's Grand Floridian over to Magic Kingdom. Like, there's a lot of ways to just squeeze a lot of Disney magic juice out of the experience, even if you're not going into the park. I also recommend, because you have a flight, maybe finishing at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort, because that way you can go to Gasparilla Island Grill, you guys can get a bunch of stuff for lunch, and you can get a sandwich to go for the airplane. They have pretty good food at very good prices there, and it's going to be way fresher and honestly less expensive than what you're going to get at the airport. I did that recently, and it was really nice. I also think they had like fresh potato chips that came with it, which was wonderful on a flight. But the other suggestion I have for you, the by sea option, is to go to Disney's Old Key West. Because on a regular trip, when you're racing back and forth to the parks, you are not prioritizing Disney's Old Key West unless you are staying there. And Olivia's Cafe is going to be a wonderful Sunday brunch option. But because we do have time to kill, we don't want to kill all that time at the resort. No, no. We are going to take a boat from Disney's Old Key West and hop over to Disney Springs. Because Disney Springs is overwhelming. It is a lot. But if you are taking a casual boat there, if you don't have to take a bus, if you don't have to drive and park, whoo, it is nice to just feel the breeze in your hair, go there for a little, hop on the boat, get back, bop in your car, or take an Uber or a Lyft to the airport, and you are ready to go. I think that is a really, really nice day, a nice option for you. And then the last thing I have, which is by land, I ran out of options. That was all I had for by land. This Sunday, your last day, is a wonderful day for a character meal. Because usually a character meal, or like a long character breakfast, a long dining experience, when you have park tickets, feels like you're spending double money. It just feels like, oh, we gotta go, we got stuff to do. But you can luxuriate at a buffet, you can have fun, you can enjoy your entree and not rush. So consider doing a character breakfast for this morning. You also, maybe it's a tough reservation to get, but January, it might be possible. I don't know, a Sunday, I don't know. But Disney's Riviera Resort, Topolino's Terrace, that would be the ideal day and time to go do that character breakfast with Mickey and friends. You hang out there, like you go out on like the upper deck, you take photos, you relax. And then if you need, you know, you need something else to do, you can always hop on the Skyliner and just walk around the Epcot Resort area. Just things to do, walk around the boardwalk, you know, like get a little coffee, get a little snack, get a little treat to take home. I think that's a really good way to feel like you're having a Disney day, especially when you get to see a character if you don't go into the park. And last but not least, if none of this is appealing to you, I want to recommend maybe go to Homecoming. Go to Chef Art Smith's restaurant at Disney Springs. While I have not yet been there for brunch, I got very, very dehydrated sick the last time I was supposed to go, and I still haven't been able to make it up. I need to go. I've heard it's low-key like the best brunch at Disney World. Everyone raves about it, and it's kind of a big, heavy meal, so it'll sustain you through your travel day. I think it's like a really good day if you do that early, you walk around a little. I think that would be the ideal option. Let me know what you end up doing. I'm so curious, and I'm a little jealous. I want to join your family trip, but I hope you have so much fun. Eat some yummies for me. Have a great time. And truly, like, being in a Disney resort, knowing that it's not the only one you're going to, like going to two things, having two things, going to one and being like, oh, we have something to look forward to before the plane, having that little extra oomph to your trip, I think makes a big deal. It makes a big difference. And so I hope you have a wonderful time. Have so much fun. Thanks for calling. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening to this very special Disney Cruise Line-y episode. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts. You can rate and follow and comment on Spotify. I know it sounds like arbitrary and annoying to ask every week, but it's truly helpful to make sure people find out about the show. We can get more, I don't know, like more fun people to be friends with and chit-chat about. And listen, every new listener is the potential for a new Churros Hotline call that could blow our minds. That's the way I look at it. And I just love our community. I love it so much. So thank you for sharing. And for anyone who has done that, because I think most of you have, I really appreciate it. I'm grateful for you. And I thank you. You can give us a call at any time. 747 Churros. No question too small. Really. Really. I just want to talk all day about theme parks. That's all I want to do. So just call about anything. I just want to talk to you. I just want to talk. You can, oh, wow, I was just still thinking about the Churros Hotline. If you are planning a trip anywhere, Universal, Disney, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, wherever you want to go, reach out to MEI Mouse Fan Travel. They will cover all of your needs. They will help you plan. They'll help you find the best price. They will give you advice. Ooh, that kind of rhymes. I should like write them a jingle. But most importantly, they will help you save money and do it all for free. They will help you do everything for free. And especially because this is a Disney Cruise Line episode, I want to mention, do not be booking a cruise without a travel agent. Do not. They know so much about the room layouts that I do this professionally, and I need their help when I book a cruise because the rooms are all a little different. There's a lot of difference between the floors. Like, you legit need their help, and they will help you for free, and they will do all the boring, like, sign-up payment work for you. They are angels. Travel agents are travel angels, and we love them. So head to mousefantravel.com/amusing to basically have them help you for free. It's amazing. I'm so glad they exist. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet and join the family at facebook.com/groups/CarlyWiesel. Subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. Real easy peasy. I do a recap after all my trips. It'll be saved as a highlight from the Disney Destiny, so you can check that out if you subscribe today. Otherwise, it's fun. 99 cents. 99 cents a month. Like I say, half the price of protein cold foam and twice as fun? Yeah, it's got to be more fun than, like, protein powder melting in your coffee. I still haven't tried it yet. I'm still working my way through different flavors in my home cold foam syrups. You know this, but, you know. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, sweetie, it's Mom. I haven't seen you in like 5 hours, and I already miss you. But not to give anything away, we just got off the fabulous Disney Destiny ship. I am bursting with so much to say, but not until next week. But a shout-out I want to give to Summer, who I met yesterday, and I met a few other people. I just love meeting so many very amusing listeners. They are truly the best. Speaking of the best, great episode. One of my favorite people in the whole world is Brandon. He is just the sweetest, the kindest, the funniest. He's loving and adorable. I love him. And I find myself texting him often. We'd go back and forth. I won't even tell you. I truly love him. We have such a great bond, and the story he told where his friends thought you were his friend's daughter, meaning I was his friend and you were the daughter, but it actually is the other way around. Brandon and I have a bond, and we love each other, but you are one of his best friends, and he adores you. So taking nothing away, don't be upset, but I love him as well. It's a very funny story. But I'm so happy that you are great friends with him, and he feels like a son to me. He calls to check up on me. I truly love this man so much, but that is the best story ever. The two of you together, listening to you back and forth, it was so enjoyable. It went by so fast, and having Brandon on Very Amusing is just fun and informative. I just love it. I look so forward to these episodes when he is on. He is a wonderful storyteller and a great cook. He's actually given me some recipes that are so good. I love him. I know you. I think I said that about 4 or 5 times. I love you too, Carly. I'm not taking it away from you. I really enjoyed this episode. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. I love you, Brandon. See you next week. Lots to say. Bye, guys.